Hope everyone has a copy of the scripture for today. We've been using it. I think this may be the last time, for a little while anyway, that you'll have a scripture handed out like this. But please get a copy if you don't have one. You can read on with someone else. And we're just going to go through some scripture today that is a reminder of the many places. It's not all the places. There are too many for us to write down on pieces of paper here that have to do with the Lord as shepherd. But the Bible is filled with great examples of this. And you think about it, you know, when would we, being people of the city, which we are, most of us anyway, when would we be introduced to the idea of a shepherd? You know, if it weren't for God, our shepherd. But we are blessed as being children of God and having the Bible to know that the shepherd is the best way to describe our Lord. And the first scripture on there, it's just the first verse, but Psalm 23 is known to people that don't even know who Jesus is. I mean, they've heard, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and they hear this powerful psalm. And it's one that we should be using in our lives to pray with people, because I can tell you as a pastor the effect that it has on people when they hear these words. It is truly remarkable how God has blessed people with his word. And so you are given authority by Jesus as his witnesses to bless people and to bring God into their lives. And so you can, you know, you have cell phones with you now, so you can take out your cell phone when you're in a situation as the Spirit leads and just simply read Psalm 23 with those people. You know, it's also a witness to them and showing them that you really believe that God is there for us. And so Psalm 23 was written by David, and David was the one from whom Jesus came in the line of David. And so, of course, you know, David was a shepherd himself, you remember. He started out that way, but then later on, God said to him, you were a shepherd of sheep, but now I'm going to make you a shepherd of my people. Right? And so God took this young man who was taking care of sheep and watching over them and leading him to watch over his people. And that is really basically what kings were expected to do. You know, and we think about leaders today, and if you're a person who desires or feels that you have leadership qualities and God is raising you up in that kind of a direction, the Bible is the best place to get your training. The Bible is the best place to understand what a true leader means. And it's a great advantage for young people to learn these lessons as they go into the job market or they go into the world and have these things that are equipped that way. Yesterday we had, on Friday, we had a beautiful memorial service for Brother Lamuel, and his son stood up here and gave, you know, a very moving read a story of his life and the many different things that he did. And one of the things that he did was to make sure that his children were in a place where they would learn the character of God. That was one of the things that they mentioned, that it was so important to him that they would do that. And it's important that we do that here as well, that we bring up our young people with the character of God so that they grow into leaders like David, right? People who are godly people, that are listening to God and following God and being strengthened by God. And that is the greatest effect that you can have on the world, is to bring God into their lives in that kind of a way. So read your Bibles well and look for those ways that you can be touched by the Spirit and to be better in understanding of what a leader is. Another verse, you know, that really stands out is from Micah, which Chris just read for us today, and it's in the Old Testament. It's prophet Micah, and it's a very prevalent one and one that we know at this time of year at Christmas because it speaks of Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. But it's a prophecy, and it says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth from me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace." And so one of the things that we can recognize in the prophecies, oftentimes when they were prophesying about a leader or a king coming into that position, They would speak of a human being. But in these, because of the Word of God and the power of the Word of God, it also speaks of one that is greater that is to come, one who is surpassing all of the things that a human king or a leader could do, and that is to be pointing to the Messiah, to Jesus Christ. And so you can see here, they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Well, only one could be doing that, and we've sang that in the songs this morning in praise, right? To the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace to all ends of the world, right? And that points to the Messiah. And so within this prophecy and the things that speak of a human being in these terms, it goes beyond that to speak of Jesus Christ as our Messiah. And he is the shepherd. He is the great shepherd. And we're going to see that as it goes through. Now, one of the things that is cool, and we've been seeing this, is the prophecy fulfilled in the New Testament. And the second or the third scripture here, Matthew 2, 1 to 6, is one that speaks of the wise men. And it's also a fulfillment of the scripture we just read in Micah. So you want to read it with me? Okay, everybody have it? You can read Matthew 2, 1 to 6. Okay, let's begin. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" And so you can see here that Matthew, the one that has written this book for us, this gospel, is relating that scripture from Micah into the birth of Jesus and the time that he came. And the wise men were following, that word from the prophet to be able to know where Jesus was to be found. So it's amazing, right? So it's like, can you give me directions? I'm looking, I'm looking for something, right? And so you say, "Oh yeah, I know, that's this way." And you point in that direction, or you give them directions to go to that place. But the prophets were pointing these people that were going to be there at the time of Jesus in the direction of where to find Christ to be born. And that is what we have at Christmas time. It is the fulfillment of prophecy that Jesus Christ was to be born in Bethlehem. Now, when we look at this word at the beginning of Micah, it says, "But you, O Bethlehem, Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel." And so it's pointing these words, and the place is very poignant and very important for us because it teaches us a very valuable lesson, right? Bethlehem was actually the place where David's father Jesse came from. He was a Bethlehemite. And Ephratah was an ancient way of referring to the same place of Bethlehem. They were very closely related. I believe it's in 1 Samuel, it speaks of Bethlehem and Ephratah as being the place where Jesse came from. And so they're both closely knit together. But the point that Micah is making here, and it's it's a very important one, is the same one that was told to Herod by the wise men in Matthew, is that Bethlehem was a very humble place. Right? When you're thinking about, you want to have a person of great importance, and you're thinking, oh, they come from this really, really important city, or this really poignant and world-renowned place. Well, this place was important, maybe not in the view of people, but it was important to God because it showed that he would take from something humble something great and make something great. And that is the story that we have about God in our lives, that we have a God who is high and mighty, right? He is all powerful and he can do all things, but he chooses to bring his son into the world in this humble place of Bethlehem. And so Micah puts it like this: you are too little to be among the clans of Judah. It's like saying you're very small, right? But you are great in my eyes. This is what I have chosen there, because it is from the line of David. It is this place where David came from, and that is also important for us to remember, that God brought him from a king, right, from King David, from that line, to be the greater king that we know as being the Messiah. And it's very exciting to see this. And then Matthew says, "And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah." He's pointing out the strength of it. Right, even though it is a very humble place, it possesses great strength. "For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And so here we see the word and the name shepherd. I will bring my shepherd from this place. And that is where the wise men were going to find Jesus, in this humble place. Do you think that's cool? I think that's very cool. Right? But that teaches us a much greater lesson, that the Son of God would come down from heaven to a humble place like earth, where there's sinful man and sinful woman, and there are things going on here that he didn't really want to happen. But he said, I need to send my son there to fix things. I need to rescue these people from the things that they have done that are causing them to die in their sins. And so that is the greatest sign of humbleness ever. Not only that Jesus would be born in a humble place like this, but that he would leave the glory of heaven and come and be our shepherd and bring us back to the flock. And so it begins like this, right? And we've been going through all of the different names or the titles of Jesus, you know, in this season. And shepherd is one, you know, I was thinking today, Lord, thank you for helping us to look at this one right before we go into Christmas. You know, it's one that, like I said, with Psalm 23 and other examples in the Bible, it teaches us that we have this God who desires to find us where we are in our lives, you know, lost where we are, and to bring us out of that situation into safety and security, to bring us to himself, to help us to know that God exists and he loves us. He's created us. He's given us this life. And we have fallen into sin, but he is there to rescue us. He's there to go out and to find us. Have you ever been lost? Right? It's not a very good feeling, right? I mean, it's this feeling like, where am I? I mean, I know New York pretty well, having lived there, but I get lost in New York all the time, you know, because it's easy to get lost, especially if I go downtown, you know, like in the lower part of Manhattan, because there's so many streets that are going every which way, you know, in all different directions, right? Right. So welcome, everybody. Glad to have you here today. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, so we're talking about Jesus coming into the world as the Messiah, and God sent him as a shepherd to save the lost, to come and find us. We are his lambs, we are his sheep, and Christmas is about God sending his shepherd, Jesus, into the world to save us and to find us and to bring us home, just like this picture of him there holding. You can imagine yourself in the arms of Jesus today, and he loves you. So let's take a look. I don't know if everybody, do you guys have the sheet, the handout over there? If you don't, maybe, do you have that to read along with? Chris, can you help them out? Do we have any others? Or maybe those of you who have two, you can share one. So we're down at the bottom here at this, of the page on the front side, where it says, "The coming of the Lord our shepherd." And at the bottom it says, "The Messiah is the good shepherd." The Messiah is the anointed one. It's a word that means the anointed one or the king. Right? And the Messiah was the one that the Jewish people were looking for to come into the world, to save them, to restore them to their lives. And the Messiah also means our Savior as Gentiles, as people who are not Jewish as well, because he is the Savior of all people. And so we're looking at the next one that says the Messiah as the Good Shepherd, and in Ezekiel, this fabulous book. I mean, we really should look at Ezekiel more. There is another great section of scripture that talks about the Good Shepherd. Now, before this, I didn't put it on there, but there is another section in Ezekiel that speaks of the shepherd. But we don't have time to read all of these, so I just chose this one. But you can read in Ezekiel and find the shepherd theme throughout it. But let me just read this one for you. Ezekiel 34, 23 to 31. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them, and he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. You turn the page. And then there's this covenant of peace that is so beautiful. Listen to this. I will make with them a covenant of peace and banish wild beasts from the land, so that they may dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them in the places all around my hill a blessing. And I will send down the showers in their season. Then they shall be showers of blessing. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And the earth shall yield its increase. And they shall be secure in their land. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I break the bars of their yoke and deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them. And they shall no more be a prey to the nations, nor the beasts of the land devour them. And they shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will provide for them renowned plantations, so that they shall no more be consumed with hunger in the land, and no longer suffer the reproach of the nations. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God with them, and that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God. Yeah. This scripture here is one that you can read over and over and over again and read and start to get familiar with and to see the blessing that God is ready to pour out to us. When we look at the initial part of this where he says, I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David. David is a name that is associated with the Messiah. It's one that God uses there for his people, but it is always connected to the covenant that God made with David, that he would bring forth from him a king that would reign forever. And Jesus Christ came from that line. And so therefore we see the connection to Bethlehem, where David came from. His father was from Bethlehem. And so there's this tie-in. So we want to make sure that you understand that this prophecy is in anticipation of a greater king coming from the line of David, who is Jesus Christ. And he is our Savior, and he is the reason for Christmas, Christ Mass. It is about Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. And Christ also means the Messiah, the anointed one. Right? That is the meaning of Christ. He is Jesus, the anointed one. And then this second part here talks about the covenant of peace. And God made a covenant with David that Jesus, the Messiah, would come from his line, and he would establish through this Messiah a covenant of peace. And all of these things that are described here, where there is a feeling here of peace and animals and everyone in that is described here is getting along, right? But not only that, there is all of these things in nature are bearing fruit. It's just this beautiful, beautiful description of what Jesus does in one of our lives when we believe in him. That he comes into our lives, and it's a very poetic way of saying it, but it's the truth that he comes into our lives and he brings the riches of his blessing into our lives. And that is what he wants to do in each one of our lives here today, is to remind us of what he came to do for you and for me, right? This Christmas time is not just about gifts and all those different things, right? That is something that was acquired and actually came from the wise men giving gifts. But it is a time of reflecting on the blessings of believing in Jesus, the anointed one, who came down from heaven, leaving his heavenly abode to die for you and for me on the cross. I was talking with a friend of mine this week about that very fact. And we've had a couple of funerals recently of loved ones from our church. And so we have been faced with death and also belief in eternal life when we believe in Jesus Christ. And it's a very victorious time, but it's also hard to endure that kind of a loss. But anyway, my friend and I were talking about these things, and I was sharing with him some of the things that were going on in our church. And he said, well, you know, Christmas is really about God sending his son Jesus into the world to die. Right, we celebrate the birth of Jesus, how he was protected, right? All of these things happened in this miraculous birth of Jesus in the stable, right? To his mother Mary, who was a virgin, and she was covered by the Holy Spirit and gave birth to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Right? All these wonderful things are happening, and they fill our hearts with joy. But the reality of Christmas is also that this king came to die on the cross for you and for me. And that is the description of greatness, and that is why the shepherd is so important here, and we're going to see that in a moment. But I want you to concentrate for just a moment and take in these words of blessing that God desires to bring about in our lives. And how does he do it? Through the blood of the cross, forgiving us of our sins, freeing us from this life, being born again into new life in Christ, and then living eternally with Christ in heaven. And that is these things that are being described by Ezekiel here are inspired by the Holy Spirit to say that you are secure when you believe in me. Jesus says, I've got you. I've got your back. I've got your life. Are you feeling lost? Are you feeling down? Are you feeling like there's no hope? Are you feeling like, you know, you've failed in your life? Is there something you're struggling with? I came to give you life. I came to give you hope. And that's what these candles are about, right? To shine the light of Christ and to remind ourselves that he is the light of the world. And he comes into darkness of sin and he takes it away. And he replaces it with eternal life, but not just light itself. He is the light. And so we spend eternity with our God, the one who has given us life to begin with, but who saw that we were sinful and needed his redemption. And so at the end of this beautiful pasture, it says, you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God. And so this is what we want to understand today, that we are sheep in a fold of God, and he cares for us. And you can say, I've got the greatest shepherd in the world. He loves me. He takes care of me. And I'm sure that there are many of us here who tell their story, just like Lemuel and also Albert, you know, that they were lost, but then they became found because Jesus, their shepherd, found them one day. And they came into the realization that life began when they were following him. And it's the same for each one of us in our lives, that we want to hear the words of God, of hope, of coming into our lives and giving us that future with him and healing us and giving us the security we so much, so dearly need. Now we get to the next reading on the sheet of paper you have there. Jesus is the Messiah, the Good Shepherd. And this is one of the most famous scriptures that is quoted in reference to the Good Shepherd because Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd. He grew to be a man. He didn't stay a baby and die as a baby. He grew as a man. He grew up in the world without sin. But then he approached the cross and he was speaking to his disciples and teaching them the lessons that they needed to know about him. And he says this in John 10:11 and then 17-18, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. For this reason the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and I have authority to take it up again, and this charge I have received from my Father. And so the main thing is that Jesus says that I am the good shepherd. He was the one foretold in these prophecies about a shepherd who would come. I am he. And the people of his time rejected him. Many of them rejected him and said, you're committing heresy. All these things that you claim to be. But he said, I am. I am. Right? And so he was also making a point. He said other things about who he was as well. But today we want to make sure we understand the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd that was foretold in Ezekiel. I am the good shepherd that was foretold in Psalm 23. I am who they spoke of. And I'm here talking to you face to face. And he spoke with these people and taught them this. But then he says this, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He doesn't say, I'm here, I'm the good shepherd, and I'm going to stay here forever. He said the good shepherd is good because he protects the sheep. And he's willing to die for the sheep. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He was ready to die and he died for our sakes. He saw that there was danger and it was sin in our lives. And so he said, I am going to die in your place so that you can continue to live. And if you believe in me, forevermore. Right? And so he's making this point so that they understand, I'm not here just to talk to you today so that you can say I'm a great prophet or that I'm a good man. I am the great shepherd. I am the good shepherd, the one who is foretold to come and save you, and therefore I'm going to die on the cross for you. And for this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. And so the Father sent Jesus into the world to die, not to remain dead, but to take it again. And that is what he's talking about. He's talking about the resurrection from the dead. No one takes my life from me. No human being has any power or authority to do that. But I came because my Father sent me, and I listened to what my Father wants me to do, and I'm going to die for all of mankind. But I also have authority through the Father and through the Holy Spirit to take that life again, and I'm going to be raised from the dead after 3 days. And that is exactly what he did. And so he's giving them the gospel right here in this land. He's teaching us at this time of year. And Christmas is one of the great opportunities for the gospel to be heard, right? And to ring out and to be proclaimed and to be told to people that Jesus Christ came as a baby, grew to be a man, went to the cross to die for our sins, went to the grave, and after 3 days rose from the dead. And he ascended into heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father, and is coming again. And so we've been saying all during this time of Christmas time, it was the first coming of Jesus that we celebrate at this time of year. But we are people who know that Christ rose from the dead, and we are waiting for his return. And so the second return is what we are really anticipating now. We think about and we celebrate the fact that God would come to the earth as a baby and grow to be a man, but we are really celebrating today that Christ died for us and we will see him when he returns. And so this is what the good shepherd means. He's ready to die for someone else. Right? And that is what we are called to do as well, brothers and sisters. We need to learn this. This is what we're talking about with leadership. And wanting to be Christ-like and learning what it means to have those kind of qualities and that kind of a character is to say that all of the people around us living in this world are our fellow human beings that need Jesus. And we have been put here as under shepherds from the chief shepherd. And that's what Peter referred to him as. He's the chief shepherd, but we are under shepherds to take care of our fellow man by leading them to God. And that is the best way that we can spend our time here on earth. That is what our purpose is to glorify God and to point to him and to say, he is greater than I. He is greater than I. And that is the sign of a leader in the world when they say there is one that is greater than I. It is God. And I follow him. I follow the shepherd because he saved me. He loved me and died for me. And I follow him. And that is the one I represent here. And I want you to all to know this because your life is important to him as well. And then it also works itself in our lives when we are shepherding people and we're caring for people. Then as parents, we watch to see that our children are doing the right things in life so that they're not going off and away from God, that they're being brought back into the ways that are going to be righteous and good before God. When we're working with people, we are honest, we are trustworthy, we're faithful, we are all the things that Jesus is for us. Acting these things out in our lives, the people see Christ living in us and that they say, yeah, this is different. This is different than what I've been hearing in life where I have to be number one myself and I have to attain everything for myself and I have to be successful in life in every way with money and things and wealth and all these other things that are so important to people. But in the view of Scripture, you see where this is going? It's to say Jesus came into a lowly town called Bethlehem. And that's where he's from. But that is of greater worth than all the money in the world, than all the fame in the world, because it shows that God has humbled himself and is blessing us with his son to come and to show us that he loves us and he cares for us and he wants us to live. And that is the message that God gives us today on this Advent of love. This candle is burning to show the great love of God. If you look in your bulletins again in the inside, you'll see the call to worship. 1 John 4:9-10. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And so it was his sacrifice that paid for our sins on the cross. And that is why we love him, because he showed such love for us. It was manifested. The love of God is manifested in Jesus. And that is what we believe as Christians, that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And I grew up in a church hearing these messages, and I believed in God, and I believed in Jesus, and I loved Christmas time, and I loved all these things, but I came to the point in my life where I myself had to believe for my own. Not because my mother or my father believed or anyone else in the church, and there were many people who believed, but I needed to come to that place and say, God, I need you. I realized that I have all this sin. It was bothering me. It was heavy on my mind and on my shoulders. And it was tormenting me in the night. And I went to my mother and I said, I don't know what to do with this. I feel so bad about myself. What should I do with my sin? And my mother said, you go to Jesus and he will forgive your sins. And that's what I did. And he did it. And I knew it because the burden of sin was gone and it was replaced with the forgiveness that only he can give. And that deepens our appreciation for Christmas and the things that are happening now. And it takes us in directions in our lives that Jesus alone as the Good Shepherd can take us. And so I want to ask you today, do you know Jesus as your Savior? If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can receive him into your heart. You can ask him, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. Will you forgive me of my sins, Jesus? And the answer will be, yes, I do. And now you are my child. You are my lamb. I'm going to do all the things that I promised to do for you and bless your life. And you're going to spend eternity with me. You don't have to fear death. That was one of the prevalent themes of the funerals that we've had recently, is that the two men that lost their lives are now celebrating God in person. Right? I mean, in the presence of Holy God. And they're receiving that glorious reward that God promises to people who believe in him, that even if we die, we will live because of Jesus Christ. And so, commit your life to God. Give him your life. Trust him. Take his hand. Just like we were hearing that verse, that song today. I believe that's one of the reasons that we have that song today. We are to trust Jesus with our lives. Trust that he is real. Give your life to him. Let him take your hand. Let him be your shepherd. Raise your hand if you want to make Christ your Savior today. Raise your hand and just say, God, I need you. I want you. I'm sorry for my sins. Just come into my life, Lord, and transform me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you haven't raised your hand and you have God talking to you today, just respond to that message and say, God, I love you. I need you. Come, be my Savior. Be my shepherd, and I will follow you. The last verse has come from Revelation, which is the last book in the Bible, of course. And it was a revelation of Jesus Christ to John and to the churches and to our church here today. And so let me just read these verses. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. You see here, Jesus is referred to not only as the shepherd, but the Lamb. The Lamb of God was the one whose life was sacrificed, right? He was giving himself in place of a lamb that was the traditional sacrifice given to forgive, for the forgiveness of sins. But Jesus became that lamb when he offered his life for us. But now he will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. At this moment, my sister Nancy is nearing the pearly gates. She is at the point in her life. She's reached the end of her life, and we're praying for her. I hope that you'll continue to pray for her as well. But she is a child of God. She's had a very, very hard life, one that I wished was falling on me more than she. But I know that her Redeemer lives. And I know that there is a day coming when my sister, who has been tormented in her life with so much sickness, is going to find relief forevermore. And there will be no more crying, and there will be no more tears to shed. And she's going to meet my mother and my father, her mother and father, soon in heaven. Amen. She is going to be in the presence of Holy God. Why? Because she is a person that God feels sorry for? No, because she is a believer in Jesus Christ. And he is the one who gives eternal life. And he promises reward. And so I want to ask you today, have you been shedding tears? Have you been shedding tears and you feel that you're alone in that moment in your life and you're feeling like I have so much to carry and I have so much on my shoulders and I'm going through a torment in my life? He is the answer. He is the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. You cannot say that God does not love you. It's written here in ink. It's written here in blood of Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you. And he wants you to be his. These are not just words. These are not just things. This is about life. It's about people. It's about us. About you and me who go through lives and trying to make it on our own and struggling and thinking, oh, if we only keep up. But the world around us is filled with people that are lost. They're lost and sadly, we oftentimes follow the lost. We follow the blind, and we get into trouble. And Jesus is saying, I'm here for you. Come to me, and I will give you rest. Amen? I will give you rest for your soul. There's no one that loves you more than I. That is the great Jesus Christ, the one who came from all the glory and came here to earth to die for you and me. And that is why we rejoice. We rejoice not with a superficial kind of hallelujah. It is one that comes in to say, my soul was touched by Christ. He came into the lowest of the low in my life and he picked me up and he said, you are great worth, my child. I have given you life. And you're not to believe any lies of Satan or these demons that want to tell you otherwise. You belong to me. You are my child that I love. And that is why we rejoice. Because we know that when we die and we leave this place that we are going to meet him. We're going to be safe and secure. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Brothers and sisters, if that doesn't describe you today, you can at least know that there are people around you that feel that way and that are in need of God's love. And Jesus doesn't only just tell us, I am the good shepherd. He says, follow me. Amen? Can we say that together? Follow me. Follow him, brothers and sisters, fellow lambs, fellow sheep. Follow Christ. Give him your life. Give him your life today. Give him your life today. If there's anyone that wants to give their life to Christ, just raise your hand. You can, everybody close their eyes and no one will see, but raise your hand. Including me, I won't see, but you can just raise your hand and say, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to follow the one that can lead me to the security in life that I need so desperately. He will forgive me of my sins and save me and give me that hope that endures forever. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this gathering today. We thank you for all that came today. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us into the presence of God here today in Grace Church. We thank you, Lord, for Christmas. We thank you for the lights that are lit to remind us of the hope and the peace and the joy and the love that are all found in Christ. We thank you that you come from a humble place in Bethlehem and that you went to the cross, a humble place only reserved for criminals, but enduring that cross and all of the shame for our sakes, taking our shame and our sin upon yourself to die for us. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And Lord, now we pray that you'll bless those who have renewed their faith today or have given their faith to you, their lives to you in faith today for the first time, that you will bless them and help them to grow as your sheep, Lord. And help them also to know that when they go off and they stray, that you are going to go and find them and bring them back into the fold. God, we thank you for such a great Lord that you are, that you would lay down your life for us. We pray, God, that you will help this Christmas to be the greatest Christmas of all for all of us here because we have been reminded of who you are, that you are the Son of Righteousness. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Prince of Peace. We thank you for coming into our lives and showing us that you're real. You're not just a character in a story in a book. You are the true God. And we thank you that you are our Good Shepherd. We pray and give you glory from now until forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.